Good morning.
Good morning.
You're so quiet. Are you awake? Welcome to worship today. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us. If you are live in the area and are looking for a church to join, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. We're going to take in some new members in a couple of weeks, so let me know. As always, when we gather, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. On Wednesday, the Welka group, the women of the church, will gather for their monthly Bible study, fellowship, and treats out there in the Narthex area. That's at 12:30 on Wednesday. So mark your calendar and plan to join us for that. And then there's also information in your WOW about a Synod regional gathering coming up on Saturday, April 28th. That's going to be held at Grace Lutheran Church in Corvallis from 9:30 to 4. The bishop's going to lead a Bible study and preach at a worship service, and there'll be all kinds of other things going on there as well. No, it's no charge except for a small, maybe $5 fee for lunch. If you're interested in going, please sign up on the bulletin board out there so I can tell them how many are coming from here. And then last week we received a special free will offering to help defray the costs of a young man from Poland to come and be a camp counselor at Camp Lutherwood during the summer. I believe that he will be arriving sometime around May 26th, and camp starts in the middle of June, so we're hoping to get him over here. But if you weren't here last week and would like to participate in that offering, you can, if you're going to use a check, you can just write Poland on the memo line, or if you want to put it in one of the offering envelopes there in the pew and write Poland on that. It's going to cost about $2,500, I think, for that person to come here and be housed at the camp. Last week we raised $456, and the council has already voted to add $500 to that, so we've raised almost $1,000 ourselves. So, and there are a couple other congregations that are working on it. But if you'd like to take part in that, you can do so today. Mary Lou has a party invitation for all of you. Use the microphone, will you, Mary Lou?
The last couple of weeks we've been talking about our party. And no, you haven't missed it. The good news is today at 3 o'clock we're getting together to prep the three rooms that we're going to paint tomorrow. So at 3 o'clock we're going to work in Raynette's office, the workroom, and pastor's office, and taping things and pulling things away from the wall, that sort of thing, to get ready. So tomorrow at 9 we start painting, and we'll get her done, just ram on through, and we'd be done probably by 1 o'clock with lots of help. So if you want to come, or you're able to come even for part of it, we'd love to have you.
Even if you don't want to come, come. And my office is going to be Pepto-Bismol pink, right? Any other announcements this morning? If not, please stand for the Thanksgiving for Baptism printed in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our gathering hymn is number 361. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Lord, set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children.
Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. How are we doing today? Super duper? Mm-hmm. Good. So when I was a kid, I liked to play dominoes. You like to play dominoes? Now, I don't mean the game of dominoes where you try to match up, you know, the two against the two and what. That was pretty boring to me. But when I played dominoes, I liked to build stuff, see how high I could make it before it fell down. Or sometimes I would take them and I would line them up like this, see if I can do it without making them fall yet. I'm not going to do them all, take too long. And then you know what you do? You want to knock them down? You know? Isn't that fun? Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, not just kids like to do that. Some adults like to do that. In fact, I don't know if it's still going, but at one point there was a day called World Domino Day, and people would gather from all over the world to set up dominoes and knock them down. You know what the world record is for dominoes? For doing that?
1,000.
Take a guess.
1,000.
Huh?
1,000.
1,000.
Ha! 100,000.
Ha!
Wow.
The record for dominoes, 4,435,000. Yeah, easy, huh? A continuous knockdown. It took 2 hours for them all to fall down. That would be something to see, wouldn't it? Well, after a while, it might get a little boring, but it'd be fun to see. All right. I thought about that when I read our gospel reading for today. Huh? Yeah, I did. So, in our Bible story today, Jesus appears to his disciples after he's risen from the dead. And at first, his disciples are terrified. They saw Jesus die, they saw him buried, and now he's with them. What did they think he was? A ghost. Oh, it's a ghost! And they were terrified. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not a ghost. Look at my hands and my side." And he even ate a piece of fish to prove to them that he was, you know, a body, not a ghost. So, but then he turned to his disciples and he said, he told them, he opened the scriptures to so that they would understand that the reason he came to this earth was to live, to suffer, and to die for our sins, right? And then he said, "Now, you guys, it's your turn to go out and tell the whole wide world that story." Now, that sounds like an awesome job, doesn't it? How do you tell the whole wide world story? You use dominoes. No, it's this one tells this one. Who tells this one? Who tells this one? Who tells this one? Times a billion. Right? Each one tell one. That's our job. Our job isn't to tell the whole world. Our job is to tell one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, that God loves them, right? And they can come and be a part of God's family with us. Isn't that great? So, each one, tell one this week. Got it? That's your assignment. Each one, tell one. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for the good news of his love poured out for us and upon us. Help us to live in that love, but more than anything, help us to share the good news of that love, one by one, until all join us in falling down at your feet and worshiping you. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. Thanks, kids.
The first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 3. After healing a crippled man, Peter preaches to the people how God's promises to Israel have been fulfilled in Jesus. Through the proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection, God is offering them forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. Hear now the word. Peter addresses the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy, and he had but you rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked to have him murdered, have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has been given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. This is the way God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Holy wisdom, holy word. The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin, and we're reading from Psalm 4. I'm going to read the light print, and if you could respond with the dark print. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you love illusions and sins of your lives?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call.
Tremble then and do not sin. Speak your heart and silence upon your bed.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, who will show us to be good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine abound. The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 3. God has loved us in order to make us children of God. Though we do not yet know the full details of our future existence, we trust that God will reveal it, just as God revealed Jesus to take away our sins. Hear now the word. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it is not known him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I think one of the peculiar things in the resurrection stories of Jesus in the New Testament is the way that the risen Jesus identifies himself to his friends. Last week from John's Gospel, we saw how Jesus suddenly appeared to his disciples who were hiding behind locked doors and how he showed them his hands and his side. Today, in Luke's version of that story, we see much the same. The disciples were in hiding, fearful that the authorities might be looking for them too, when suddenly Jesus is standing in their midst. They are, of course, terrified because they had seen Jesus put to death and his body laid in a tomb. In their fear and confusion, they believe they are seeing a ghost, the spirit of their dead friend and Lord. But Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I am no ghost." And then he offers four sure proofs that he is who he says he is. Two hands and two feet. "Look at my hands," he says to them. "Look at my feet. See that it is I myself. See that it is really me." Now, of course, it is the wounds in his hands and his feet that he wants them to see, wounds which prove that he is indeed their Lord. But isn't that a rather peculiar way for him to identify himself? Why not say, "Well, listen to my voice," or "look in my eyes," or "look at my face, then you will know it's truly me"? But no, it's the hands and the feet that he points them to. So I've been thinking about them this week, but mostly Jesus' hands. "Look at my hands," Jesus says, "and you will know who I am." Reminds me of a story that a friend of mine once shared. A few years ago, a friend of his, a man in his middle ages, lost his father quite suddenly to a heart attack. The man had lived far away from his father, and he didn't get to the hospital in time before his father died. No chance to say goodbye, no opportunity to say, "I love you," no time to get used to the idea of losing him. The first chance he got to see his father was at the funeral home, where he walked right up to the casket, took one of his father's quiet hands into his own. Now, his father had been an auto mechanic for his whole working life. He had been a skilled man who could solve and fix nearly any automobile problem that he was presented with. He had always kept a tidy and neat shop, and each day before he went home, he would take a stiff bristle brush to wash away the dirt and grease and grime of the day. But after so many years of having his hands immersed in motor oil and grease, there were simply stains on his hands that could not be erased. And these were the marks that his son was looking for. Turning his father's hands over in his own, he saw those familiar stains and calluses, and with tear-filled eyes, he said to my friend, "It's him. They tried to clean him up, but they couldn't. It's my daddy. It's really him." He looked at his father's hands, and he remembered all that his father had meant to him. That's what Jesus asked his followers and us to do. Look at my hands, he said. Look at my hands and remember. These are the hands and feet that Mary would have marveled over that night in Bethlehem as she held her newborn son. Like all newborn mothers, she would have counted those fingers and toes to make sure that he was all right. His hands and his feet, four signs of his incarnation, four reminders that the Word did indeed become human flesh. Of course, Mary's son is God's son, but God's son is also Mary's son. In this one, God has human hands and human feet. Look at my hands, Jesus said. Look at my hands and remember. The hands of Jesus speak of his love, a love that came close, a love that touched our lives in order to bless us and to heal us. Remember how he took little children into his hands and blessed them, and how he made them symbolic of all who would enter the kingdom of God. Remember how those same hands put mud on the eyes of a blind man, giving him back his sight. And when a leper came and said to Jesus, "If you choose, Lord, you can make me clean," he responded, "I do choose," he said, and he reached out his hand, touched what was unclean, making him clean and restoring that man to health and human community. Look at my hands, Jesus said. Look at my hands and remember. Remember that these were the hands that took a little boy's lunch, two fish and five loaves, and turned it into a banquet for over 5,000 people. And when Peter tried walking on water and started to go under, it was those hands that snatched him from danger and brought him to safety. Remember, too, that when a grief-stricken father came to Jesus and told him that his little daughter had just died, how Jesus followed him home, took that little girl's hand in his own, and said to her, "Little girl, arise." And she did. She rose from death and was rejoined to her family. "Look at my hands," Jesus says. "Look at my hands and remember." Remember how he knelt in front of his disciples, took their dirty feet into his hands, and washed them as a sign of his self-giving love. And how he took the bread in his hands, blessed it, and broke it. How he took the cup in his hands and passed it among them, feeding his disciples with his own body and blood as a sign of his forgiveness and grace. "Look at my hands," Jesus said. "Look at my hands and remember." Those hands, they're wounded now. His hands weren't all cleaned up either. They still bore the marks of his life and his death. Ugly sores, beautiful sores, reminders of what he went through for us. "Look at them," Jesus said. "Look at them and remember." Remember the hands of Jesus and remember his love for you. Remember that his hands are there to bless you and to hold you. Remember that his hands are there to heal and restore you. Remember that his hands are there to feed and nourish you. Look at his hands and let those wounds remind you that he died to take away from you all that would keep you bound, and that he rose to bring you the gift of new life, both now and forever. Look at those hands and remember. But there is yet one more scene from the Bible concerning the hands of Jesus, which gives me great comfort and security in this world which is increasingly frightening to live in. The scene is from the book of Revelation, and it shows the glory of heaven with the throne of God front and center. He who sits on that throne holds in his right hand a scroll with writing on both sides. The writing on the scroll contains the entire history of our world and the meaning of that history. Its contents, however, are hidden because there is no one there who is able or worthy to break the seal, to open it, and to read it. But then in the story, there appears the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But no, wait a minute, it's not a lion as was expected, but instead it's a lamb that looks as though it's been slain. The lamb approaches the throne of God, takes the scroll from God's hand, breaks the seal and unrolls the scroll while all of heaven breaks loose with shouts and songs of praise. And then it all becomes clear. The key to the meaning of the history of this world is in the hands of Jesus. To understand his death, to understand the nail holes in his hands, is to know what history really means. And what it means is this. He holds it all. He holds it all in his hands. War, inflation, recession, poverty, plagues, hunger, disease, death, all that brings disorder and disharmony in the universe. The same hands that blessed infants and healed lepers, the same hands that fed thousands and raised the dead to life, the same hands that bear the mark of those nails, those hands hold all things. He holds the Middle East and Syria in his hands. He holds the famine in Africa in his hands. He holds the warming climate. He holds all those who are disenfranchised and who live in want in this world of plenty. He holds everything in his hands. Those hands that still bear the marks of this world's pain. And this Jesus says to you and to me, fear not. For I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and to life. The hands that hold you, no matter what this broken world might bring your way, are the strong hands of Jesus your Lord. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are in good hands, strong hands, powerful and loving hands. And today I commend each of you into the hands of Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. In his hands, you are safe and secure. In his hands, you have a glorious future. In his hands, you have a sure and certain hope. So rest now. Rest in the hands of Jesus, your Lord. Amen. Let us sing together. Precious Lord, take my hand, number 773. Please join me now in the affirmation of faith that you'll find printed on page 7 in your bulletin. We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all things and all that is to come. We follow Christ, who comes to us from God and reveals God to us. He heals people and transforms lives and calls us to join in his ministry. He was crucified, died, and was raised again by God, and reigns over all creation. And he bids us to die and rise with him in the service of the healing of the world. We are moved by the Holy Spirit, together with the communion of saints, as members of the body of Christ, God's holy universal church. We are confident in the forgiveness of sin, the power of resurrection, and the reality of eternal life. In all things, it is our desire to follow Christ by the grace of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. Amen.